So how is everyone today? Good? Awesome. So I'm going to take a little bit of a continuation off of what Pastor Ken has been talking about the past couple weeks. And for those of you that have been here know that for the month of July, we've really intentionally just kind of taken things a little bit slower. We've backed off some of the programming and been very intentional in going after what our hearts should be as leaders and spending more time in prayer. Pastor Ken challenged us as a congregation to spend more time in prayer. How many of you done that? So for the rest of you, we'll spend the rest of the time catching up. Just pray during the sermon. It'll count twice. And I think it's, you know, that's something that is really important, especially as a body of Christ and anyone that's involved directly in ministry leadership, to sometimes just take those moments just to take a step back and really evaluate where God has you and where he's taking you and what we need to be doing. You know, we often talk about that we can function in our gifts, but it's difficult to always make sure that you're functioning in your gifts and in the anointing. And those are things that require us to stay in balance and kind of come back to center every once in a while. So we're anticipating that the fall is going to be very busy and potentially with some changes. So we just want to be prepared for that and whatever God wants to do. We've had an incredible year here at the church. I was thinking back over everything that occurred last fall, the Christmas production, the big changes that we made in that this year and doing some things that we had never really done before. Easter, we had some really cool stuff going on for that and different programs. So I'm excited about what's ahead. We just need to prepare for whatever that may be. So I want to start off by going to Mark chapter 6. And many thanks to Kim for being in the sound booth for me today. Otherwise, I would be preaching from the sound booth. The Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 44. I have to read it off the screen. This is, of course, the story of the disciples feeding the 5,000. But the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." We'll come back to that. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and to give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in the groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. So we all know the story of the 5,000. We've all heard this before. But I think what's interesting is that in the first part there, the disciples had just come back from doing work. They were out doing ministry. I would imagine that they were tired. They had traveled. They were drained from just emotionally giving to people and to being there. I would imagine praying for them and ministering to them and leading them to the truth. And they came back looking to celebrate all that they had accomplished with Jesus. And it reminds me of, you know, when you go away on a mission trip and you come back and the first thing you want to do is just tell everybody everything that you experienced. You want to share with everyone the experiences that you had, the miracles that you saw. And there's nothing more rewarding than being able to come back and report on the work that you were able to accomplish for the Lord. So they were coming back to do that. So Jesus said, "You know what? It's kind of busy here. Let's go off in a quiet place and just spend some time talking and relaxing and re-energizing." And don't you know it? All these people started to follow them. right? And by the time they got to the place where they thought was going to be that place of respite, there were thousands of people gathered around waiting for more ministry. And they just went right back into it. They went right back into teaching and ministering. You know, I'm sure it was something similar to Creation or any of the other large music festivals. I mean, you have thousands of people surrounding Jesus preaching, and the disciples are out amongst the crowd ministering one-on-one and praying for them and doing different things. And they, you know, went all day again and then found themselves being in this place that's far away from towns and villages and not having anything for the people to eat. So they even went another step further to provide for them. And of course, that was all directed by Jesus. Why would you question Jesus as your boss, right? But these guys, you know, they had spent a lot of time out doing ministry, and they had just come back, and they were tired, and they were ready to go off and just kind of hang out for a while, and then they were thrown right back into it to do it again. And then at the end of a long day of ministry, here they are finding themselves, oh, now we got to feed everybody. And you can find yourself in a place sometimes where you just feel like you're completely drained, like you've given all that you can give, and then you're called to give more again. And I think that's really one of the things that, you know, Pastor Ken and I have talked about with this month of July, just spending some time refocusing and recentering and understanding where we're supposed to go next. Because we can get ourselves so wrapped up into just going to the next thing, into the next program, and the next issue, and the next whatever it is, that we lose sight of looking inward on where we are and where we, our anointing is through God rather than functioning in our gifts. So I wanted to just talk about that a little bit. And the title of my sermon is Just Breathe. And it kind of reminded me of the song that's out that is by Johnny Diaz. And we're going to play it here in a little bit because I want you to listen to the words. But oftentimes in our walk, we need to spend time just to breathe, just to spend time that, you know, quiet and in his presence. And I want to give you that opportunity today, and it's going to be something a little bit different. But I wanted to focus on this part of it first. So a while ago, I don't remember if it was, I think it was a Sunday morning, I was talking about the noise that occurs in our life. And I actually had a track of white noise, you know, like the old static TV rabbit ears things, you know, whoosh. Right? So it's terrible, right? But whenever we're trying to listen to God, there's this white noise of the world that surrounds us, right? And if I'm just talking to you right now, crystal clear, you can understand everything I'm saying. But if I'm talking and this noise begins, right? It gets louder and louder and louder. I could keep talking, but it would be very difficult for you to understand what I was saying. And the same occurs whenever we're in our walk. If we're very focused on God and we're focused in on where he wants to take us and the anointing that he wants to drive us in and the things that he wants us to do, it's a crystal clear communication with God. But as soon as we allow the busyness of life and the stresses of the world and all those things to surround us, that white noise just gets louder and louder and louder and louder, and it becomes impossible to hear what God wants to speak to us. So just like the disciples and Jesus went away to a remote place, sometimes we have to go away to a remote place. And I'm not suggesting you go out in the middle of the woods somewhere and hug trees, but maybe you just need to spend some time in your car, you know, for 5 minutes, just being quiet and hearing what God has to say to you, or spending time, you know, in prayer. And having three kids, I can tell you that's nearly impossible. Courtney and I can never find any time that's quiet. It can be very, really, really challenging. And, you know, I know we're all busy and we have crazy schedules and different things that go on, but sometimes you need to just breathe. And it reminded me of, we're kind of in this intense time right now with Logan. He made travel baseball for the first time. So every weekend is tournaments, and usually the baseball tournaments start Wednesday or Thursday, and they go through Sunday. And these kids crack me up. I mean, they're 7 years old, and they get so stressed out over what they need to do, right? And it's partially my fault and the coaches, because, you know, I'm at first base. We got the third base coach. We have the guy that's the bench coach, and everybody's yelling at them, right? Get your elbow up, bat back, keep your head on the ball, you know, run. You're in a round first, two outs, you know, and you're yelling all this information at these poor kids, and they're just like, they get so overwhelmed. And yesterday, for the first time, I said to Logan, I said, when you get up to bat, just breathe. Just take a deep breath. because I feel like it's similar to our walk with the Lord. You know, we get up to do certain things for him, and we have all this noise and people yelling at us and people telling us how they think it should be done and all this stuff going on. And sometimes we just need to breathe and just understand the direction that he wants us to go. So let's jump over to Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am great, gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So he gives us his promise, right? Paul writes that, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Yet how often do we really take advantage of that? There's promises all throughout the Bible that we could grab onto to understand that sometimes we just need to take a step back, that we just need to relax, that we just need to really seek his face and understand what we're supposed to do next. But we don't allow that to transpire. So, switching gears a little bit to my music background, let me preface this a little bit first. Who is in charge of music in heaven formerly? Lucifer, right? Who is now Satan, right? So a whole different message, but there's this emotional response that occurs through music, and it can be used to bring the things that Satan takes advantage of. But it can also be used for the kingdom. And I'll give you an example. Whenever we're going through life and we experience different sounds and different interactions with people and different moments with God, the same response that we have to music occurs with our relationship with him. And it's like this. So as I mentioned, it's a whole different sermon, but Lucifer was in charge of music, of worship. And those tones and those chords and those things that we hear and we feel whenever we listen to music, he's able to use those same things for our emotional response, right? If you hear scary music, if you hear Jaws, you know that something bad's going to happen, and that fear triggers, right? If you hear a love song, a happy song, you know, there's emotions, there's euphoria, there's things that can occur through that type of music that allow you to feel really happy, or to feel in love, or to feel different things. And those, again, are emotions that Satan can use to manipulate or to destroy. The same thing occurs whenever we need to come back center and just breathe, right? We need to surround ourselves with music, with prayer, with things that allow us to come in line with him, rather than things allow us to become distracted. The white noise is a distraction, right? There can be things even within the church that can be a distraction. It can be a distraction for me to get so caught up in the things that need to occur just to make this ministry happen that I need to remove sometimes. Perfect example. Not that I minded doing it. But last night at 10 o'clock, I was up here hanging a TV downstairs in the Sunday school room so they could have movie day today, right? So I love doing those things. I love being a part of the nuts and bolts of the ministry and what needs to occur to make those things happen. Wednesday, Mary called me because the internet went down and she couldn't complete payroll. So I had to run up here and fix the internet so that we could have payroll this week. So, but my point is, those things can get in the way of what needs to occur for me to move properly in what the Lord has. And they didn't this week. They don't on a regular basis. But it's an example of how just the stuff that we go through and the things that we experience in the earthly realm can distract us from what God has for us. So one of the other examples I want to give you, I think most of you know, I work in public safety is kind of my day job. I'm a bivocational pastor. So one of the trainings that we do with newer paramedics and fire chiefs is to simulate large-scale incidents. And we train them how to manage those incidents. And we put them in a room, and we give them a scenario and a radio, and they have all the different operations set up. They have a dispatcher, the whole thing. And they have to manage the incident. And the incidents continually progress. And it's always worst day scenario type stuff, right? So it's like, you know, an apartment building with 200 people on fire, with people trapped, people jumping out the windows, the whole nine yards. So they have to kind of work through the process of, where am I getting all these extra resources? How am I keeping things organized? Who's going to have control of the different sectors and divisions and different things that need set up? Who's handling treatment? How many patients can the hospital handle? All those things. one of the elements that we add into that whole process, once they almost get to the point where they're overwhelmed, is noise. And we add in very loud sirens, people screaming, recordings of babies crying, anything that can increase stress. And we actually put them on a pulse ox that measures their heart rate, and we watch their heart rate go from a little bit elevated to almost double what it was initially. And one of the reasons we do that is to help people through the process of understanding they're going to get stressed, they're going to get overwhelmed, but manage through that process. We then take the same scenario and we put them in a quiet room. And we have them manage the same exact thing with no extra noise, no extra stress, all the resources they need. And the way that they perform is dramatically different. And we use it as an educational tool. The parallel is this. As we go through our walk with the Lord, if we don't take the time to get into that quiet room, into that quiet place, we're going to get overwhelmed. We're going to get stressed. And we're going to get burned out. I saw a pretty cool, I don't know what they're called. The things on Facebook. Memes? Is that what they're called? Yeah. Okay. So this whole social media thing is going, at one time I had a great hold on it, right? I had a MySpace account and everything, and it's just kind of flying past me. I guess it's showing that I'm getting older. But anyway, it was a woman came up to her pastor and said, so-and-so was gossiping about me, so I'm leaving the church. And he said, that's fine. Before you do that, I want you to take this glass of water, and I want you to focus on the glass of water and walk around all the different rooms in the church and everybody that's here today, and then you come back. So she did that, and she came back, and he said, did you spill any water? She said, no, I stayed focused on the water the whole time. I didn't spill any at all. And he said, how many people did you hear gossiping about you as you walked around and encountered each and every person in this place, in each and every room? And she said, I didn't hear any of them. And he said, well, just a few minutes ago, you told me that everybody is gossiping about everyone. The difference is, when you're focused on the glass of water, you're not paying attention to everything else that's going on. If you stay focused on him, you don't get distracted by the things that the enemy can use to distract us with everything else that's going on. So we're going to go over to Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah 8:10 is in line with what Al said about the men's group. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those that have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What does it mean for the joy of the Lord to be our strength? I think it's different for each and every one of us. I think it's something that you can draw on in different things. But the opportunity that I want to give you this morning, while we still have some time, is to take some time to just breathe. And I have pre-selected some music that Kim's going to play. And a long time ago, man, 18, 19 years ago, something like that, I taught K through 6 general music at a Christian school. And one of the activities that I would do with the kids is I would either play music on the piano or I would play music for them that was recorded and have them draw things that they were thinking as the music played. I'm not going to make you draw this morning, but what I do want you to do is just spend some time to breathe. Listen to the music. If you want to write something down, if you want to draw something in your seat, that's fine. If you need to move around and just kind of experience the music, then do that. But I want you to spend these few moments just focusing on what the Lord might have for you, what he's speaking to you, and allow the music to take you to that place. Stand together. Again, if you need prayer, feel free to come up after. Father God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for giving us the opportunity to spend time in your word, to breathe, to come back to center, to focus on you. And I pray, Lord, as we go into this week ahead, that you would just be with each and every one, that you would bring a spirit of refreshing and renewal and energy, that this would be a season of revitalization and preparation for what is ahead. Lord, we pray for our pastor that you will keep him safe as he travels and return him in the coming days. God bless. Have a great week.